My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, listeners. We've got a special treat for you today. We've got an ultimate crossover podcast audio delight for you here, where myself, Joel from Super JCast, is going to be talking to Paul from Emerald Flow Show to discuss the recent developments with Bushiroad selling their new Japan Pro Wrestling shares to Cyber Agent and TV Asahi. So, Paul, thank you very much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Joel, for having me on. If you're listening to this on the Emerald Flow Show feed, then that also means that there are recorded some audio on this as well that you've either already heard or will hear after this. I don't know in what way Gerard will edit this together. But regardless, I would also like to welcome Joel onto the Emerald Flow Show, I suppose.
And if you're a Super JCast listener, do check out the Emerald Flow Show. It's really good. Paul, plug the Emerald Flow Show.
Yes, Emerald Flow Show. We're on the Voice of Wrestling podcasting feed as well as our own feed. And we generally cover All Japan Pro Wrestling and, most pertinent to this one, Pro Wrestling NOAH. As well as every once in a while, we dip into like Big Japan, DDT, and well, really like any kinds of other like men's pro wrestling in Japan as well, but mainly All Japan and NOAH.
So I want to kick things off here. I'm just approaching this from my position of complete ignorance. Could you please just tell us a bit about the different organizations involved in this? So specifically, I'm talking Cyber Agent, Cyber Fight, Abima, and Wrestle Universe. So could you tell us what those four things are, please?
Yeah. So basically at the top of all of this, we have Cyber Agent. So Cyber Agent is a listed company in Japan, actually a quite large listed company in Japan. I'm pretty sure they're a major part of the Blue Chip Index. So just really like a big like media conglomerate, like, well, and in this case, also specifically new media conglomerate in Japan. Like they're very specifically focused on like internet media specifically. So one of their main platforms for that is Abima, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people have already heard of. But if you don't know it, it's kind of like I think the best way to describe it, it's kind of like an equivalent to like it's Japanese YouTube in many ways, where you just have like a lot of like videos. Well, in this case, though, it's less user-generated content. It is a lot more like professionally uploaded content. But yeah, basically you can watch like a lot of like video on demand, as well as you have a lot of like live channels being aired like over the internet on a Beamer. It's actually, if you've ever been, like, to, like, give you, like, an idea of how big it is, right? Like, if you go to a hotel these days and you have, like, a relatively modern TV, they will have, like, the buttons on it for, like, the larger, like, streaming services. So, like, in, like, right in, like, most of the Western world, you will have, like, a button for Netflix, for, like, Amazon Prime, those kinds of things. Well, if you go to a Japanese hotel, more likely than not, like, your TV remote will have a button for a Beamer on it. Like, that's how big this platform is in Japan.
Sorry to interrupt, Paul. Do you have an account with a Beamer? Is that something available internationally or only in Japan?
It's kind of a bit... You can make an account with a Beamer, but I'm pretty sure you can't make... Like, there isn't a Beamer, like premium thing as well. And I'm pretty sure you can't sign up for that. And, like, there's definitely certain things that are, like, region-locked as well. So, for example, like, you know, certain things on a Beamer are region-locked. There's also, like, the Beamer Live pay-per-view platform as well, which is only available in certain countries. Like, it has spread out across more countries now. It used to be only available in, like, the Philippines, the US, South Korea, Thailand. Right. And now it is in a lot more countries as well.
Can create and use a Beamer account outside Japan, but it's pretty heavily geo-restricted.
Yeah, well, Beamer Live specifically is for international pay-per-views. So like you can't, they have pay-per-views on a Beamer itself, but those are generally limited to only Japanese viewers. And if you want to buy, it's like international pay-per-views all run through a Beamer Live instead, which Noah used to have shows on, doesn't anymore. No, at least not recently. But like, for example, like Hololive, like the big VTuber agency recently announced that they're going to like broadcast some stuff through a Beamer Live. Okay. So, but also of note though, so while CyberAgent is the majority owner of a Beamer, it is also a, like, I think, 30% of it are held by TV Asahi. So this is already kind of like a bit of this New Japan purchase isn't the first time these two have cooperated. Like TV Asahi already has holdings in a Beamer. They already have like a pretty large interest in a Beamer. It's just that it is very clearly controlled by CyberAgent. So now one of the things that CyberAgent has done is that they purchased DDT like quite a few years ago at this point, I think. Getting close to 10 years, maybe? Like, it has been a while that, CyberAgent has, like, owned DDT. And then kind of around, like, 2019, 2020, I don't remember the exact dates anymore, they also purchased Pro Wrestling Noah. So this was a thing that was very much driven by Sanshiro Takagi, the president of DDT, because Noah at that point was in really dire straits. Like they were very close to going out of business. Really, really bad situation. Like they were owned by Ledet at the time, but things were not good. So basically, Sanshiro Takagi resolved to purchase Noah to stop it from going out of business. Because Mitsuhari Misawa was one of the early investors in DDT. Like DDT wouldn't have gotten properly off the ground without the help from Misawa. And that's why this was basically Takagi like repaying that favor by like stopping Noah from going out of business. Like it's basically, yeah, like he repaid the favor of like Misawa, like not letting like Misawa's promotion die. It was like him repaying the favor of Misawa helping them start DDT. But basically, because at that point, right, so they owned DDT, they owned Noah as well. So at that point, CyberAgent then like kind of like formed their own like wrestling division called CyberFight. And CyberFight is kind of the company that now like holds both DDT, Noah, and Tokyo Joshi Pro. And so Takagi used to be president of that. The new president is, I forget his name. Like he got into that position like a bit more than a year ago now. But like Takagi and Marufuji are still like representative officers of the like respective brands or like within Cyberfight. So basically but also the new president is a guy that used to work directly for Takagi. So it is very much like the overarching structure from Cyberfight is still very much in such a way that it is like basically DDT is the driving force in that. But it is kind of, that's like the company that owns like both DDT and Noah. And then kind of through Cyberfight, they have their own streaming platform separate from Abima, specifically for wrestling, called Wrestle Universe. And on Wrestle Universe, you have all of the Cyberfight brands that upload their shows there. But then you also have like non-Cyberfight companies that upload like shows on Wrestle Universe. So you have Marvelous is uploading shows there. Marigold is like streaming and uploading the shows there. Like many more. Sorry, I'm blanking on some of them right now. There's probably a bunch of people yelling at me at their favorite promotion uploading the shows there. But it is kind of like, to me, it is still the best deal in wrestling because like it's the same price as every other streaming platform, but you get like 8 different promotions instead of just one, like you'd get with most of the other streaming services.
And what's the platform like? Is it easy to use? Is it like relatively streamlined relative to something like New Japan World?
Oh, it's much better than New Japan World.
I thought so.
Yeah. No, like, because again, like, right, because Abima, right, like Cyber Agent, like is, as I mentioned at the beginning, it is primarily a new media company. Like having a good streaming platform is literally their bread and butter. Like it's literally how they make their money. Well, that and gacha games. But that's besides the point. Quite literally having a good digital infrastructure is kind of their bread and butter. Like it is something they're very heavily focused on. And Wrestle Universe to me is just, it works very, very smoothly. They have like a good, TV app as well. Works very well. Like you just go in and you can just select like what stream you want to watch. It's very well like organized. Like you, like each promotion has like their own tab, and then you have like one like general feed where you can just see like every show that was uploaded recently. You can see every show that is scheduled to stream. If it's scheduled to stream, you can set yourself a reminder as well that like it will tell you like, oh, we started streaming now. Basically, like once shows like have finished streaming and they go onto VOD, they will have like chapters available that show you like so you can like jump to the match that you want to. So like for example, like Noah right now has their tag league going on. So if you only want to watch the tag league matches because it's already a house show tour, so you don't like it's not really much of a point in watching like the undercard tag. So like you can just go in and jump like straight to the tag league matches. So no, the other thing, what is actually, so very often the live streams on there for Noah, for example, for like Hurricane shows or like bigger shows than that, will only have the English version streaming on Wrestle Universe because the Japanese version is streaming on Abima instead.
That was going to be my next question. Like what does the content distribution, like how the content shared across Abima and Wrestle Universe, is everything that they show on Abima also available on Wrestle Universe? Like how does that shake out?
Yeah. So basically the live streams for like bigger shows, the Japanese ones are on Abima. English is everything in English is on Wrestle Universe exclusively. Except for again, if they do like a big pay-per-view on Abima Live, then the English feed is on Abima Live instead of Wrestle Universe. Though notable, Wrestle Universe also has a pay-per-view function. Again, this is Japan. Look, you know it. Like they just double up on everything. Like redundancy is very much like a key feature of the Japanese like corporate system. So basically, if you want to watch it live in Japanese, you need to watch it for Noah. You need to watch it on Abima. But notably, though, the VOD then will also be available in Japanese on Wrestle Universe as well. So if you want to watch it live in English, go to Wrestle Universe. If you want to watch it live in Japanese, you go to Abima. If you're watching on VOD, you can just go to Wrestle Universe.
So Cyber Agents, are they like 100% own Noah now? And what changes have Noah seen as a result of Cyber Agent taking over in, what's it, 2020, did you say?
Yep, around there-ish, yeah. Yeah, so basically the main changes, like the immediate changes were, like, basically coming out of the pandemic, Noah started running a really ambitious schedule. So DDT kind of is mostly left to its own devices, essentially, like just kind of keeping on what you're doing, right? Because it works for DDT, whereas Noah kind of needed to do something. And I think early on, there really was a push to make Noah a competitor to New Japan. Like, the schedule that they run was insanely ambitious. Like, they ran a bunch of really, really big buildings. Again, they infamously tried to do the whole thing with Keiji Muto and everything, and trying to draw off of his name relevance and maybe use that to, like, elevate some people like Kaito Kiyomiya, which did not work at all. Like, they ran some big shows in front of, like, half-empty buildings, and it looked really bad and really embarrassing. Like, they turned on the house lights on some of those shows really, really strongly. Now they have kind of reduced the ambition of the schedule. Which, ironically enough, they did just as their attendance was turning around. Because now they have actually hit on a major star in Ozawa. So, yeah, they're kind of in that weird, like, middle ground period right now, where I think they're kind of trying to figure out what they're trying to do, if they want to go back to running a really ambitious schedule, or if they kind of want to keep it, like, build it a little bit, like, and capitalize on Ozawa's popularity, or if they want to, like, build things up a little bit slower. But, like, basically coming out of the pandemic, like, there was an immediate big push. Like, the production values were insane. Like, Noah for a while, they had, like, the best, like, production values, like, I would say, in all of wrestling. Like, they had, like, some of their stages that they had, like, they must have cost, like, an insane amount of money, like, that they had. Like, they were nuts. They've reduced that a little now, obviously. Like, they still have, like, really good sets for, like, really big shows, but it is noticeably a little less. But now they are actually doing pretty well attendance wise like, they're actually breaking some records that have stood, like, for a long, long time. Like, again, like, last year, they were literally, like, the best drawing promotion in Kurgan, in all of Japan. So, yeah, that's basically Pro Wrestling Noah right now, where it's, like, ambition, but it's not quite clear where that ambition is placed. Like, it's a bit of a... It's a promotion in a very, very weird spot right now.
Do they get any terrestrial TVs on?
No. As far as I know, I don't think they're even on... I want to say they're not even on Samurai TV. I don't think so, no. It's because, again, they're fully owned by Abima right now. And Abima kind of wants the content on their own platform. So...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, unless I'm missing something, I don't think they're on Japanese TV in any way right now.
And would you say, as an owner, Cyber Agent, pretty hands-on or hands-off when it comes to the, like, day-to-day running of Noah and booking and things like that?
I would say they've been pretty, like, hands-off in terms of the booking. Like, they left the same booker in place when they took over. Nosawa was already the booker of Noah when they took over. Like, Nosawa was an employee of Ledette when Cyber Agent took over Noah, and then he moved over with Noah to Cyber Agent. So it seems that Nosawa is no longer the booker and is exclusively the booker of Monday Magic these days. Though that is a little unclear at the moment. It's not quite clear who is actually booking Noah at the moment.
I guess my point is, like, there's not any evidence of a lot of interference.
No. They've the only thing is probably that they, like, gave them some support, right? And maybe told them to run more ambitious schedules so that they can put, like, big 10-pole shows on the Bima. But maybe that was also NOAA internal thing, right? That's not quite clear who was actually driving force behind that. But yeah, mostly Cyber Agent has been, like, fairly hands-off on things.
And the same with DDT, if I'm not mistaken. They left Takagi in charge when they purchased DDT. Okay. Has there been more or much collaboration between NOAA and DDT and even Tokyo Joshi Pro as a result of them being unified under this banner?
So that is actually one of the weirder things, where they kept NOAA and DDT, like, that was something that I actually personally expected to be happening a lot when the, like, original purchase happened. But then they kind of kept them very strictly apart. Like, so much so that actually arguably NOAA and DDT were two of the, like, men's Japanese, like, pro wrestling promotions that had the least amount of crossover. Like, there was more crossover between, like, NOAA and New Japan and, like, DDT and, like, other companies than there was really, like, NOAA and DDT. Now, notably early on, they did have, like, this, like, big 10-pole show called the Cyber Fight Festival, which was kind of intended, right? Like, to be, like, the big crossover show between all of the, like, Cyber Fight promotions. So you had, like, DDT on there, you had NOAA on there, you had, like, DDT versus NOAA matches on there, you had Tokyo Joshi matches on there as well. But then they stopped doing them. It's not quite, like, I don't think they've ever said why they stopped doing them. It might have been that the attendance wasn't up to their satisfaction. It is notable that, like, the last one that happened was the one where infamously, like, Katsuhiko Nakajima knocked out Tetsuya Endo, which kind of completely derailed both men's career, to be quite honest. Now, we have recently, like, and by recently, I mean, like, really, like, within the last year, we have seen a bit more crossover, because we've also had people kind of explicitly switch rosters as well. So Tetsuya Endo moved over from DDT to NOAA. Like, he's technically still a DDT contracted wrestler, but, like, he's wrestled in DDT less than Takeshita has. So, right, and Takeshita is signed to two other promotions. So, like, he really is, like, a full-time NOAA wrestler these days. And then you've also had, why am I blanking on his name right now? The guy in orange got sent to Mexico, allegedly. Junior. Sorry, I'm blanking on his name right now. But basically, you had, like, a junior from NOAA move over to DDT. You had Yuki Ino actually recently. It's not announced as a jump yet, but Yuki Ino from DDT now has formed the tag team with Manabu Soya in NOAA. So it seems like he might be a bit more of a regular in NOAA going forward. But again, these are all, like, very recent developments. For the longest part, like, DDT and NOAA were kept, like, very, very strictly apart.
So I think it's fair to say then, under Cyber Agent, like, no moves towards merging companies or anything. They've been perfectly happy just to leave them as distinct entities and just have content from both companies to put on their platform.
Yeah, that is also what I would expect is happening with, like, this whole, like, New Japan move as well. Though, to play a little devil's advocate on that, would be that it does make a lot of sense to keep DDT and NOAA separate, because they're very different products, right? Like, DDT is very unique in the product that it produces and has, like, a very, like, clear fan base that wants exactly this type of product. Whereas I would say that type of product produced by NOAH and New Japan isn't
Paul, have you watched any Best of Super Juniors?
I actually haven't. I've heard some things that apparently, maybe NOAH and New Japan aren't the ones getting merged. Maybe it is actually DDT and New Japan that will get merged.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe they're priming for the unification of the two companies by gradually turning Japan into
Takeshita is becoming the ace one more way or the other, and if that means turning New Japan into DDT, then so be it.
What do you make of Cyber Agent investing in New Japan? Was that a surprise to you? Mm-hmm. Like, what do they get out of this aside from the obvious?
Mm-hmm. It was a surprise. Yeah, I did not expect it. I think people somewhat overstate the importance of it, because it's pretty clear that TV Asahi are the ones like in the driver's seat here. TV Asahi, right? Like the very clearest indication of that. I know that both of them hold an equal stake, but the very, very clearest indication that TV Asahi are the ones in the driver's seat is the fact that New Japan has been declared as a consolidated subsidiary of TV Asahi. That tells you in very clear, no uncertain corporate terms that it's controlled by TV Asahi. They may be the equal shareholders to Cyber Agent, but Cyber Agent is going to be the hands-off partner in that, because otherwise they wouldn't call New Japan a consolidated subsidiary of TV Asahi, because being a consolidated subsidiary means that you're kind of running the show. Because otherwise you could also just have it as a non-consolidated subsidiary, and then you find some other way of structuring the management of your new company. But in this case, it seems TV Asahi will be a lot more hands-on in that regard. And Cyber Agent is just kind of there for the ride as well. Another good indicator for who cares much more about this transaction is the fact that TV Asahi put out this lengthy statement, right? That they've done this purchase of New Japan and how it fits into their newly announced strategy of content production and everything. And Cyber Agent still hasn't put out a statement. There's just been complete radio silence. They haven't even put out, there's nothing out there right now from the Cyber Agent side that, this is a transaction. That, the only reason we know about this is because other people have told us that Cyber Agent is involved in this. Because the Cyber Agent side hasn't said anything, which tells you how much of a, strategic importance this is for them. Now, why did they do this? Well, one of the things is, and I think that's not really something people are that aware of outside of Japan, is that, this is also to some degree just how business is done outside of Japan. This is how business is often done in Japan. You often have these strategic partnerships that companies have with each other, where they invest together in a bunch of businesses. So it is also to reduce, for example, the burden on just each individual company, right? Because now instead of TV Asahi having to pay for the entirety of Bushiroad's stake in New Japan, they only have to pay half of it, because they didn't even buy half of it. Most of the transaction cost for this is actually on Cyber Agent side, right? And it's some of the reasons for that is to because you have this relationship and you want to stay on the good side of that relationship. Because again, you have TV Asahi cooperating with Cyber Agent on Abima, and keeping TV Asahi happy means that TV Asahi will keep providing content for Abima, which is what Cyber Agent ultimately wants out of this. And I think that's what they want out of this relationship, right? Them investing in New Japan as well is there's definitely going to be a lot more New Japan content on Abima. And actually another thing, a thing that Abima actually had on their most recent investor presentation, is that they've started doing these membership plans on Abima, where you can purchase membership in a different streaming service through Abima at a reduced price, essentially. So for example, you can purchase membership of Wrestle Universe through a beamer. And I expect that, like I think that's something you can put a lot of money on, where like we are definitely going to see like a New Japan World plan on a purchasable through a beamer. Like, I think that is almost a guarantee.
Yeah, or maybe some sort of like wrestling fan package where you get a discount for signing up for both Wrestle Universe and NJPW or something like that. Yes, I mean, that was going to be my next question. Like, how do you see the New Japan content distribution to look across those different platforms with New Japan World and Abima, and, you know, maybe even Wrestle Universe? I don't know. But yeah, obviously, Cyber Agent have put, what, 46% now? They're only 46% of New Japan. So you'd expect quite a hefty amount of New Japan content to appear on Abima. Like, what do you think that might look like? Is it just going to be everything that is on New Japan World is on Abima, or how do you think that shakes out?
Well, I don't think any of the, I think any of the English content is not going to be on Abima, because I think that's, again, I mentioned before, that's the way it works on Wrestle Universe. I would expect, well, basically, for some of the people that do not like the English commentary, are going to be disappointed, because I'm very certain that all of the Japanese language content, or at least the ones for Korakuen shows and up, is going to be moving to Abima. Like, similar to the way it is on Wrestle Universe.
World might become like an exclusive platform for foreign fans, basically.
Yeah, for English content, yeah. Well, actually, there's another good indication of that, right? Like, because they just yanked one of the exclusive perks for Japanese members of New Japan World, instantly. Because all of the AEW stuff is now gone from New Japan World.
Come on, no one's watching that.
I mean, that's probably the other reason. Which actually, to be fair, was one of the things I was curious about. Because, so one of the things, one of the elephants in the room, I don't know if that's a fair way of describing it, that we haven't touched on yet, is the fact that Cyber Agent, or Abima rather, is currently hosting all WWE content in Japan. But that's gonna change in a couple of months. I think in September is when basically all of the WWE content moves to Netflix as well in Japan. So there is kind of this big WWE-shaped content hole on Abima that needs to be filled somehow. And I think that, again, is one of the motivations for Cyber Agent doing this New Japan investment. Because they have a couple hours of content that they now need to fill that WWE used to fill. So plugging in New Japan makes a lot of sense. And also, B, New Japan's going to draw better ratings than WWE did for them. But then the other thing is well, again, that's one of the things that I don't have any idea about, what the future is of the whole AEW New Japan relationship and TV Asahi and AEW. Because if that is still a thing, I wouldn't be surprised if there is kind of some sort of AEW on Abima, or some sort of my AEW membership plan you can buy through Abima or something like that as well. But I don't know, I don't know what you think about the whole AEW New Japan relationship, if that gets affected by this as well, or if that's a likelihood that if they stick around, that it could then get transitioned to Abima instead.
I think it stays as is. I don't think it's going to be ending anytime soon, because this is all about the relationship between the people, between Tony Khan and Hiroshi Tanahashi and Gedo and Rocky Romero. That's the backbone of the relationship between the two companies. So, yeah, I don't expect that to change. It's just unfortunate with the timing that a lot of people saw this sale go through, and then seeing all the AEW content pulled from New Japan World, thinking, uh-oh, something's up here. But I think it was just coincidence, given that AEW about to launch this my AEW thing. But yeah, I mean, that could definitely just be part of this wrestle portfolio thing, where wrestling fans in Japan might get like I said, a huge discount if they're buying all of this stuff in bulk from Abima. I could certainly see that playing out, but I don't expect the relationship between the companies to be ending anytime soon, though.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Was going to be given the difference in the sort of ownership structures with New Japan being a subsidiary of TV Asahi and not Cyber Agent or Cyber Fight, how do you expect Cyber Agent to invest in New Japan financially relative to Bushiroad. It's like what changes, if any, do you expect to see for New Japan now that Cyber Agent has got this stake in the company?
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so I already mentioned that I do expect New Japan World to stick around, because also quite simply, well, TV Asahi now fully owns New Japan World. Like, why would TV Asahi basically fully take over the revenue now of New Japan World and then kill the platform to move it all to Wrestle Universe, which is a platform they do not own? That doesn't make any sense to me. But what I could see is maybe Abima providing some support, or maybe they do, like, they also turn, like, New Japan World into, like, another TV Asahi, like, Cyber Agent joint venture as well. Like, again, that's a possibility, I could say, but I could definitely see them, like, maybe provide, like, some technical support to New Japan World to, like, make it better. Another thing I could see them is, like, improved, like, live event production as well. As I mentioned before, like, right, like, Noah for a while there had, like, the highest production values in, like, all of wrestling. And even while I don't expect maybe New Japan to get, like, that same level of, like, money poured into them to build, like, insanely elaborate sets, I could still see there being, like, a bump up and, like, production values just, like, in general for, like, bigger shows as well. Because I think that was, like, kind of a more notable thing in, like, the later years of the Bushiroad era, where it was very clear that they weren't really willing to do any big investments in, like, New Japan anymore. Maybe we could also see, like, some better pay for some talents as well, where maybe now they will actually be able to, like, compete for, like, some of the, like, higher end foreign talent, right? Like, they're still not going to be able to, like, pay, like, to, like, the same level that, like, WWE or, like, AEW is, like, able to, like, pay talent, but maybe this will actually, like, push them, like, into a range where they can at least make, like, you know, somebody think, like, okay, I'm, like, a big focus in this company, and I make, like, a little less money than I would in, like, AEW or WWE, but it's at least comparable. And also, I get to live in Japan and I don't have to move to, like, fucking Florida. So that's something I could see happen as well.
Or even, I was just thinking, bringing over big names on short-term deals. Like, you know, I've heard reports of various AEW talent, for example, saying that they'd be really happy to work G1, and Tony Khan is happy for that to go ahead, but New Japan have not, just because they can't afford it or they're not willing to spend the money on it. So it just could be a case of, you know, like, bringing over, I don't know, like Ricochet or Swerve Strickland or whatever to work a G1, or getting Jay White to come back for a few dates, or more Will Ospreay dates, or, you know, maybe even Okada comes back for a few matches, given that Kidani's out of the picture. So I think, yeah, not even just like, oh, we are going to sign this wrestler to a full-term contract and they're going to be working every single show, but, you know, bringing people in just for short runs where money has been a prohibitive factor in that. Or even just sort of more aggressive talent recruitment across the independent circuits and Mexico and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's fair. Would you say it's fair to expect a bit more money on the table with Cyber Agent?
Yeah. No, I do think that's fair. I think not just Cyber Agent, also TV Asahi as well, right? Like, it's, they just announced this whole new, like, 2027 to 2029 strategy and how they want to, like, have more global outreach as well. And again, then mentioning, like, New Japan, like it seems like New Japan very much, like, because they just announced this strategy and then they do this, like, acquisition. Like, it seems very much that New Japan is kind of a cornerstone of that strategy, because New Japan already has, like, good reach outside of Japan, like, especially for, like, a non-anime Japanese entertainment product, right? Like, because Japan has a lot of good, like, entertainment, like, outreach in the world there right now. But I think in terms of, like, but a lot of it is anime, and, like, outside of that, it gets a bit more thin pretty quickly. So making New Japan a part of that does make a lot of sense. And but if you want to keep that up, especially in the face of, like, two major American companies just being able to just spread, like, just to, like, spend insane money because money isn't real anymore in the like US TV market, you know, like to be able to keep up with that at least somewhat, you do need to make an investment. And the fact that they like increase their stake and are willing to make that investment tells me that they're then also willing to like make further investments into the company, because it doesn't make sense that you've been invested in this company for years and the fact that you're willing to up the stake and make it a subsidiary if you aren't then also willing to like invest major money to grow this business even more, because, well, why did you do the purchase in the first place otherwise?
Yeah, and they're starting to put them in primetime TV slots, so
yeah.
You wouldn't do that if this was something you're trying to hide away. You know, it would be absolutely in their interest to pump a bit more money in it to make it look and sound better. So, yeah, I mean, you've already touched on, like, it would be lovely to see CyberAgent perhaps lend some of their expertise in making New Japan World a bit more user-friendly and a bit more of a serious operation. And like you mentioned before, obviously, CyberAgent and TV Asahi co-own Abima. So in terms of the balance, the working relationship between those two companies, we don't foresee any issues there with, you know, New Japan being torn between two masters. That's a pretty harmonious relationship between the two companies. I mean, they both operate separate spheres. You've got CyberAgent with the kind of digital online streaming element of it, and then TV Asahi with like the terrestrial TV side of it. So no issues to be foreseen there.
No, not necessarily. I mean, you never know with companies like, but like, again, this is like a pretty long-term relationship. And as you said, like, they don't really have a lot of like clashing interests, right? Like TV Asahi is still very much like a classic, like terrestrial, like TV kind of like classic, like media company. Obviously they have like a few more like internet offerings as well, because you have to have them, but it is very much a case of like, no, like it's like, TVSI is the classic media company, and CyberAgent is like the new media company, and they do kind of like operate in those spheres as well. I mean, ironically enough, funnily enough, it's, you know how like under like Bushiroad they would always like shill like all of the like card games and the like Bushiroad gacha games and all of that. And I at first, my first reaction was like, oh, that's probably going to like go away now. And then I realized, yeah, no, wait a minute. CyberAgent owns like Cyber Games, which is like a major publisher of like gacha games in Japan, especially like stuff like the like horse girl game, Uma Musume. So I don't know, maybe we're going to see...
Still like, hope for Great Okan is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Great Okan is just going to like have to shift like... his thing from like shilling the like Bushiroad stuff to like be like, oh yeah, no, I really love Gold Trip now instead. Like that's going to be the change now, I suppose. He's still going to be all over Akihabara. It's just in like different parts of Akihabara now.
It's fine. Easy transition for him. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do you expect to see any increased collaboration between New Japan, Noah and DDT or talent exchange? And I will caveat with this. Remember how great it was when Suzuki-gun were in Noah? How about you take House of Torture?
How about you take Team 2000X, which is just House of Torture, but slightly less annoying?
So send them both to DDT.
No. I mean, here's the thing. I thought about that as well. And my immediate thing was like, oh, what if there was a Noah wrestler in the G1? And I'm like, well, that's like... is that really something new? Like, Kaito Kiyomiya was in the G1, what, 2 years ago?
Exactly. So, happening already, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's nothing new. Yeah. They already are like partners in many ways. Or it's like, oh, what if like New Japan sends a young boy over to Noah? I just did that with Oiva. So that's
what about if New Japan and DDT did a crossover wacky show with maybe Yano and Super Sasada? Yeah. Oh no, wait, they've already done that as well.
Or what if like, you know, like a major wrestler from DDT also signs a contract with New Japan? Oh, that's already the case. So that's not much of a change. So maybe. Or if, like, I don't know, Yuji Nagata works like a DDT show, well, that's...
So I don't think there's just that much appetite for it. If they were to announce now like a big kind of super show crossover between Noah and New Japan and DDT, I'm not sure any of the fans of those individual promotions would be that keen on it. So I don't really see the upside in it.
No, and like only if that would have like actual like major matches on it, right? Like, because otherwise, like, what's really that much of a difference between that and like what we already have with the like United Japan shows? Like, if they just announce a show and it's a bunch of 6-man tags, well, it's like, well, I can just watch the United Japan show, or well, in theory, I could watch the United Japan show if, you know, it was uploaded anywhere. But yeah, like if it was more something like Cyber Fight Festival, I would actually be up for like a return of the Cyber Fight Festival. I actually kind of miss it.
What was that?
Again, I mentioned this earlier. This was like the big like crossover show between like NOAH, DDT, and Tokyo Joshi Pro. So again, that one went away a couple of years ago. I would be up if it came back. But again, Joel, do you want to know who was like the main event of the first Cyber Fight Festival?
Please tell.
It was Naomichi Marufuji versus Satoshi Kojima.
Okay, a real dream match there. Wow.
But it's also like, again, there's a New Japan guy in that match already, so it's not even like there was, again, not that much of a change to what we've already had anyway. So that's, again, like, it seems like such a, it is a major transaction, but it feels like it's more of a major transaction that won't actually change the actual booking status quo all that much. Like, I think it will have an impact on, like, the way, like, the New Japan office is run, I guess. Like, but don't think it's going to have much of an impact on the booking, at least not immediately. And then in terms of, like, corporations, well, New Japan is already working with DDT and NOAH. So maybe we'll see more of that. But it's not like we don't already have that. Like, I don't know if it really makes that much of a difference if we have, like if we have... Actually, you know what would actually be a major one? It's like, I don't know if it's, like, Naito and Bushi work tag league or something, but as NOAH wrestlers instead of as, like, New Japan wrestlers.
Yeah, see, that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I think there's still a bit of lingering resentment from Naito and Bushi towards New Japan. I don't know if it's mutual. So I don't think it's something like a business partnership between parent companies is the stumbling block to that happening.
Oh yeah, no. What just because he came out as like the final guy on like New Japan's biggest show of the year, where he then forced them to also play his new theme and also forced them to give a spot to his buddy as well.
What a worker. I'm in
amazing.
How are NOAH fans feeling about all this? Like, is this good news or bad news or just neutral news for them?
I think for most people it would fall into like neutral. There are definitely people that are a bit anxious about this because, as I pointed out, right, like it's relatively like similar styles between New Japan and NOAH. So obviously, if you had to make a call that you only wanted to keep one of them, you would keep New Japan because it's the bigger company. There really wouldn't be a point in keeping the smaller company around. But for me, it's, again, the fact that it is a TV Asahi subsidiary means that Ebima is fine keeping, like, running NOAH still. Yeah, so to me, I think, again, generally it falls basically in the categories of neutral to negative, but I would say the majority would be more neutral.
Yeah, but just by everything that I've read and people I've spoken to and listening to you, it just seems like, for the time being, business as usual. I'm not expecting any titanic sea changes. It just seems like a content acquisition for Ebima and just a consolidation for TV Asahi for, you know, what they're already heavily involved in. Do you have any worries about, and again, I wouldn't go as far as to say monopolization, but I mean, obviously this is Cyber Agent being a very large media conglomeration owning three of the larger wrestling companies in Japan. Do you have any concerns about that?
No, I mean, that is definitely a concern. Again, it kind of depends how much they'll actually be involved in like running New Japan going forward. It is definitely a worry to see them kind of like gain a monopoly slowly or slowly but surely, because a monopoly is always bad. Like, even if they keep like a bunch of different brands around, again, that's only the strategy for right now, right? Like, if you have, like, let's say in theory, like, they would be able to like buy up like most of the rest of like Japanese wrestling and then get like an effective like monopoly. Again, then they could kind of like slowly but surely like squeeze out everybody else, or we would get to a stage where it's like they own like they own everything big, and then maybe if at that point they will be like, well, why do we have three separate like men's, three or four like different like men's wrestling companies? Maybe we should just consolidate them into like one big like Japanese pro wrestling company. That definitely would be bad. Yeah, I don't know if that is a thing. It's kind of hard to say right now, because that would obviously entail them also then eventually like, I would definitely be more worried about that if they had actually, if they were the actual like monopoly owner of New Japan, or the actual majority owner of New Japan now. And also if they had announced it as like Cyber Agent is the one that's running New Japan and not TV Asahi, because I think then that definitely would be a lot more of an indicator of them trying to consolidate the market. It's still something that they might do in the future, but it's just, I don't know, it's so hard to really get a good read on that situation right now.
Well, that was all the questions that I have for you. Is there anything I haven't covered that you think is important to mention?
Actually, one thing, because we were talking kind of earlier a bit about like, you know, like roster crossovers and everything, and actually something I just thought of is, as I mentioned, right, like it has, like recently it has become Junta Miyawaki. Sorry, I just remembered the name of the guy that went from Noah to DDT. We have recently seen like, right, like Endo going from DDT to Noah, Junta going from Noah to DDT, Ino maybe jumping from DDT to Noah, but that's a bit more unclear. I actually would be curious if actually we don't just see like, you know, New Japan wrestlers pop up on Noah shows or Noah wrestlers pop up on New Japan shows, but if we could actually see like outright like trades of talents like that between the companies now as well, where, you know, like, let's say like, because the one that that immediately comes to my mind is Kaito Kiyomiya goes to New Japan and Rohe Oiwa goes to Noah. Because let's be real, like they were booked so much better in the like respective other company. Like New Japan did such a better job at booking Kaito than Noah has ever done. But like Noah did such a better job booking Oiwa than like New Japan has ever done. So I'm curious, do you think that's something that could happen in the future? And who would be somebody that you would want to see go from like either DDT or Noah to New Japan? And who would you kind of like not as in terms of like, oh, I want to send like the worst guy, but like some guy that you would think maybe would do better in another company?
Yeah, I think if it's just for like a short-term thing to give them something to do, like a kind of mini excursion, if they're not featured into any singles or tag team title booking plans, just to give them something to do and to help them along with their growth, I think Oiwa would be a good one. Again, if he's not figured into any plans to be in either the IWGP heavyweight title scene or the global title or the tag titles, if they've got nothing for him, then and it's not kind of overlapping with a serious tournament like the G1 Climax, obviously I think they would want someone like Oiwa in the G1, but certainly like post G1 in that season where there's like Destruction and King of Pro Wrestling and the Super Junior Tag League, that could certainly be a point where New Japan might think, "Hey, well, you know, we're not using these guys. Let's send one or two of them over to Noah." I could certainly see that for sure.
Okay, yeah, but not any kind of like, you know, permanent like talent trades, essentially.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, no, that really was like the main one I had. Let me think if I have any other questions about like the New Japan side of it, but you kind of like touched on everything there already, so no, I don't have any questions either.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Paul. We've done all the plugs already, so we won't regurgitate that. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. Super J-Cast listeners, Emerald Flow Show listeners, and we'll catch you next time.
Well, hello, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the discussion between Paul and Joel. It's Gerard here, and I'm going to give my little impressions and feelings and thoughts about New Japan being acquired by TV Asahi and Cyber Agent. I haven't listened to what Paul and Joel had to talk about, not because I don't want to, but I've been trying to avoid listening to other people's takes, with the only exception is I did read the Observer on this week, and it seems that basically Bushiroad doesn't want to invest the money to basically rebuild New Japan and decided to sell instead, which is interesting little thought. And also, what happens when the inevitable stardom downturn happens? Does Bushiroad then sell it instead of trying to rebuild it? But so my first initial impressions is that this is probably going to be good for New Japan. I mean, they could screw it up if they pick someone even worse than Ghetto as a booker or something along those lines, because you have TV Asahi backing, obviously, and they're going to start putting him back on TV. Our live TV, or at least on the main channel, I think it is, or the main satellite channel in better time slot anyways, whatever it is, it's better time slot. They did that with Wrestle Kingdom this year, and they're going to do that again with Dominion, and it may happen, you know, going forward on the big shows. So, you know, I think that's fine. I think they're probably going to, and it seems crazy to say this since he debuted less than 6 months ago, but they're probably obviously going to try it. TV Asahi is obviously going to lead the charge to rehabilitate Aaron Wolf. And it'll be interesting to see if they think of, you know, Yota Tsuji still worth pushing, Yumura, Umino, or, you know, do they go with Udo Ice, who seems to, you know, has had a strong run since he's returned. So that will be interesting. But the real things that I'm going to focus on is what happens to Noah, affected by all of this, and even All Japan. So we'll start with Noah, because now they're basically a family of promotions. Obviously, though, Cyber Fight or Cyber Agent only owns 46% of the shares in TV Asahi with the other 46. But it seems that probably TV Asahi is going to be sort of, it feels like, leading the charge or probably shaping most of the direction. But here's the thing, and I'm thinking about this. I don't know, though, how good this necessarily would be for Noah, because if you go back and you think about things, to me, with the possible exception of the Suzuki-Gun era in Noah, that there is less of a difference in presentation and in quality and what, you know, just the content or the product being offered by Noah compared to New Japan. You've got your heel unit that's constantly interfering with Team 2000X and everything like that. And it was, even if you go back 3, 4, 5 years, Noah was a clear alternative, especially in their main events when you had guys like, you know, Kenno and Go and Nakajima, and Sugera was still more spending more time in the main events than he does now. Seems to be finally downcycled. But they had that crazy, like, hard hitting, stiff as hell, like these, you know, often 45 minutes epics and everything like that. That was, you know, something very different than New Japan. Not that New Japan had, you know, short main events. They had long main events too. You know, people would talk about stylistically the infamous New Japan dance towards finishers and everything like that. So there was a clear difference at the top, right? With Noah, it was very, very much more this crazy hard hitting style. You know, it's obviously going to be subjective and what you prefer. I think I did prefer that Noah style a lot more, but whatever it is, it's differentiation, right? And that's important when you're trying to stick out in a, especially in a wrestling scene with this many promotions. So the question is, what's the point of Noah right now, given its current direction, given whoever's booking, and people seem to think it's not Nosawa, or at least other people have more power. And so, you know, I don't see what the point of Noah is, unless they want to, like, you know, you could tear up the booking sheets for Noah right now and go in another direction, and that would give Noah relevance. But I think it's going to be a lot harder to, with Noah's current direction, to differentiate itself. And so the question is, you know, if, you know, Asahi and Cyber Agent go and say, like, we're lacking, we need more bodies in New Japan, obviously, because they were looking for people for their junior heavyweight division. Do they start picking from Noah and even maybe even DDT with someone like, I don't know, Yuki Ueno, just as an example? Obviously, there's guys in DDT that are not going to be a fit for New Japan, but there's a lot more guys in Noah that could be, theoretically, right? So the question is, do you send Kiyomiya over? Do you even send Keno over, etc., right? To sort of spice things up. That's the easiest. If you want to do a New Japan versus Noah feud, this, or, you know, something to get hype and exciting, doing a New Japan versus Noah feud would be the easiest way to do that, right? Because then you could easily, right? And you could book it any way you want. There's no politics, ultimately. I mean, maybe TV Asahi and Cyber Agent may have some differing opinions on who will go over in a match. I don't know what the politics will be, but it's going to be a lot easier than if it was two completely unrelated, you know, promoters that promotions that had no overlapping ownership trying to do interpromotional thing, right? So I could see a future where this is not good for Noah. It seems crazy. I mean, Noah is obviously younger than like half the, almost half the age of basically New Japan or All Japan, but it does have you know, a legacy IP, I suppose, if you want to call it that. I think I will probably be using that term more in my discussion here. So to me, the question sort of is, what's the point of Noah right now? Because right now, even, you know, a couple days ago before this this deal was announced, like I was beginning to wonder to myself, what is the point of Noah? I just have completely lost interest in this company more so than any time in its history, even during some of the more dog days. You know, if you want to go back to Suzuki Gun era, I probably still thought I was better. And even in some of those quiet, like immediate, the couple years post Suzuki Gun, just as Kaito was trying to get heated up, some people thought those were also very dog days. And really, some of those attendances were awful. You'd see spot shows with like 150, 160 people. But, you know, you still had Nakajima, Go had returned, et cetera, right? There was still something for me, at least, to keep me in Noah, even if, you know, it wasn't the most dynamic booking or anything like that. Keno's rise to heavyweight status, right? So there were things happening, and that direction did start to pay off. And then Cyber Agent bought Noah. So, but now, I don't know what Noah is. It's closer to New Japan, I feel like, than it had, more closer to New Japan in presentation. It's just style. And what the company is at more so than any time in its history. And so that's why it's just like, I don't know why this would be good for Noah. And if you need new bodies in New Japan, and presumably even if you do go with the interpromotional stuff, maybe you could get, you know, Noah some shock wins at the beginning to give it some hype. But I mean, ultimately, business-wise, I mean, you still would have to have New Japan win that interpromotional battle, I think. Right, that makes the most business sense, because that is your crown jewel. You know, still far ahead of Noah, even despite Noah sort of gains in the last couple of years. Even if I think maybe sometimes that's overstated, they're real, right? So I don't know. I just don't, maybe because it's how down I am on Noah right now. It's like I just don't see a good future for it, because it makes sense to just stick a bunch of Noah into New Japan going forward. So to go with All Japan, I think this is very interesting, because I feel like there's multiple paths here. There are good opportunities for All Japan. There are some like not so good scenarios for All Japan. So we'll start with the worst scenario for All Japan, I think. Get that out of the way. This company could basically pick away any talent that it wanted out of All Japan. You know, they could look and say, well, sure, we could send Kaito Kiyomiya to Noah, but, you know, he's far less damaged goods than this emerging celebrity of Yuma Anzai, fresh off The Bachelorette and everything like that. And be like, we're going to sign Anzai, we're going to sign Kento, right? He's in play. They could offer him a big fat check for that. The Aoyagi brothers are in play, you know. And I'd put probably Rising Hayato in there too, guys to stick in their junior division that they need. So to me, them just coming and offering a bunch of money to All Japan's top names, Anzai, Miyahara, the Aoyagi brothers, I think would probably be the top candidates in that. Excuse me. That's like the worst case scenario in my mind, right? I mean, obviously there's grades to this. I think losing either Anzai or Kento would be pretty disastrous. Losing Anzai, because then who becomes, you know, who replaces Kento as the ace? The Aoyagi brothers, you could probably weather it, you know, as long as you still had Kento and Anzai. And losing Kento would probably be a pretty darn big blow, but I actually think at this point, as Kento approaches 40 years old, I think losing Anzai would be the bigger long-term blow. The question is, you know, would Fukuda want to weather the first little bit without Miyahara? Because that's going to be an instant hit that probably could be recovered from, given what we've seen, probably Anzai booking, attendance-wise, what Anzai's brought to the company. So, you know, that's so those are like the worst case scenarios, that they start picking away the top talent in All Japan because they think, like, you know, Noah or Kiyomiya and Kenno or whoever else in Noah, Ozawa, whatever, are damaged goods or just not what they're looking for. And they would prefer someone like Anzai or Miyahara. In terms of the positives, I think there's opportunities here because since you're sort of like, headed towards a huge, like, you know, almost monopolistic structure of Japanese professional wrestling, because, you know, what's the next big promotion outside of now what's under the Cyber Agent umbrella is going to be Stardom. And as part of this deal, you know, the IWGP women's title is going to continue to exist, and Stardom's going to continue to work with New Japan, at least for now. And I would assume that Stardom's going to continue to work with AEW, because Taro Okada seems to get along with Tony Khan well. So, you know, that's that alliances and ownerships over there. Leaving, is All Japan the biggest company outside? You could argue Dragon Gate, although, you know, for the seasoned Dragon Gate watcher, they really don't like what's going on right now. But I'm sure I have a relatively safe feeling that Dragon Gate will survive, but other elements of the scene do not seem so well. I mean, I think there was that really, I think, was it 383 something that Big Japan just drew to their latest Korakuen. Mind you, there was no strong title match on that show, but still, that's not a good sign. So the question is, you know, is there an opportunity for All Japan? I think there's an opportunity to All Japan, but that would depend on a couple of things. A, there's already was an opportunity for All Japan around Anzai and building him up, right? And continuing where that's going. And I think that's good, apart from any sort of threats about, you know, that poaching from New Japan, notwithstanding. And I think with that, you sort of stay the course. But, you know, since things are shaken up, you know, I think what All Japan should do is that obviously they were in isolation for a while, and we think Fukuda was maybe the reason for that. But they need to, and they started working again with Dragon Gate, which is great, and that's been great, apart from the strange booking within Dragon Gate of the All Asia Tag titles, but the actual interpromotional Dragon Gate versus All Japan stuff has been great. So, you know, you continue with that alliance, you strengthen it, if anything, and you should probably try to work more with the other companies. Yes, with Big Japan, with 2AW, although that's not going to make a break, you know, think the success of All Japan. And frankly, look, the politics are rot and rocky, but you might kind of want to see if you can patch things up, because I think working with 01 could be fruitful. And obviously each side has guys with heat. Nakajima has heat with All Japan, and of course Goshi Ozaki has heat with 01. So, you know, is that the unbridgeable chasm between these two companies? I mean, this is professional wrestling, right? It may take more time. I mean, for all we, Shima may be headed back to Dragon Gate for a retirement match at some point, for all we know. That seems to be far more likelier than it was a year ago. So never say never. And I think under these business circumstances, the non-cyber agent companies or cyber agent aligned companies, which I would put Stardom into that at this point, they need to band together. Big Japan, 2AW. Some of the Joshi promotions are interesting because obviously, you know, all of that stuff like Sendai and Marvelous and Marigold all air on Wrestle Universe. So that's sort of an interesting thing. But again, I mean, Stardom is still, you know, a distinct independent company, right? So those companies will probably be fine. Continuing to do their thing. it's the men's companies that I would be a little more worried about. And again, you know, 01 Big Japan, 2AW would also fall under to the, you know, hey, New Japan could sign guys away. But I don't think those companies have a lot less, you know, to me, Kento and Anzai would be the top prizes basically to be signed away from outside of Cyber Agent. You know, you love them, but I don't think Junior Matsunaga is going to get signed by New Japan. And even if they offered him something, he's not going to be a top guy. Of course, the money is going to be a lot better and everything like that. I just don't see it happening, even to bring him in under the undercard. So I think cooperation is key for the non-Cyber Agent aligned companies for sure. I would like to see that. So sort of like, you know, most of the major players in United Japan are now all owned by the same company, right? So maybe you need basically a non-Cyber Agent working, you know, industry group basically to represent their interests, right? As the non-Cyber Agent aligned companies. Now, New Japan could continue on its growth, but I think it could engineer more growth if, for example, you know, Cyber Agent and TV Asahi make really stupid choices and New Japan fails to build. I kind of think this is unlikely, but not impossible. And that would, of course, give even more sort of runway space for a takeoff for All Japan. But, you know, the fundamentals already are heading good in that direction. I'm just thinking that, you know, if this sort of goes nowhere, then more space opens up. But again, like, this is where, you know, and I've said this many times on this company, about this company, it would be great if someone, other corporate entity came in and bought it. And maybe with TV Asahi now moving in and Cyber Agent moving in on New Japan, All Japan as a legacy IP becomes more attractive to some other company that's looking for content, right? I mean, it's not going to cost very much. Like, could this company, and you get a ring and you get these contracts and you get an office and you get a dojo in Yokohama, I believe is where the dojo is. You know, is it going to be worth more than $5 million? It might be less. It might be like a little over $2 million. So let's say between $2 and $5 million, you get a budding star in Anzai, Kento Miyahara, established name that you can market. Aoyagi brothers, even the Saito brothers, of course, although they seem to have cooled off outside of the Sendai as sort of crossover with their crossover appeal, but still they have their value, right? So, you know, you get that with a very little startup cost or a little initial investment, although you're going to want to invest more for production values, and you're going to want to then if I was wealthy and I bought All Japan, I'd go raid the indies as well, like, you know, to be completely honest with you, you know, probably raid 01 and take like Matsunaga and that sort of thing, to be honest with you. But, you know, that's just that opening. If other companies in Japan see what's going on with the wrestling and they want to get in on it, and, you know, for content, for whatever, just the prestige of owning it, because, you know, Cyber Fight was never particularly money-making, although I think they've got the losses down, have been declining in Cyber Fight, but, you know, it's such a small chunk of change for a company the size of Cyber Agent that some of it almost seems to just be like prestige, like we're in the wrestling business type, this legendary wrestling business and everything like that. So that could be that. So to me, those are sort of the paths that All Japan, you know, I mean, there's also the third path where All Japan just continues on its current trajectory, which is a good trajectory. And, you know, nothing much changes, but there's a lane for even accelerating success. And there's a lane for like being picked dry by New Japan sort of thing. And again, I don't really know. I guess if I had to pick the most likely, they would just stay on their current trajectory of like, you know, building up Anzai. They're not going to get into the accelerating lane unless someone with more money, or even maybe Fukuda himself, wants to dump more money with it, or they get buying corporate. And of course, you know, getting raided by Cyber Agent / New Japan, because those guys would be going to New Japan, I'm sure, is the most likely scenario. But if, you know, Cyber Agent and TV Asahi decide that, you know, we need some new blood coming in to New Japan, it's just easier to get guys and funnel them in from NOAH, and the guys from DDT that could fit into New Japan, send them there. And oh, another thing I forgot to mention as I close out here about the rest to New Japan is, yeah, you know, New Japan has got its, you know, fair share of younger guys, like younger than this new Three Musketeer generation, like your Kosei Fujitas and your Daiki Nagai's. You know, I know Fujita is not a young boy anymore, and Nagai is still a young lion. So that's those are guys that I think that will benefit from this. But the thing is, and this goes back to my concerns about Noah, is they may look like at Hirota Tsuruya and Katsumi Inahata, right? Two, I think, standout young guys in Noah. And then, of course, there's Yu Owada that's in his European excursion. And they may say, hey, these are the kind of young guys that we want to stick in New Japan because we're not necessarily pleased with all of the younger talent, and we just want more in there that could maybe break out, right? So again, you know, these are little things that it's not even little, but these are just the things that concern me about where Noah is going to fit in all of this. So summing up is, I think the biggest threats are to Noah and then to All Japan. You know, and of course the worst case scenario for both companies could come true, in that Noah and All Japan get picked dry by New Japan. Although I think at a certain point there would be a limit to how many people that they're going to sign, right? Even if they have all this money, you're just not going to have anything to do for them to do, right? So yeah. And, well, look, you know, if Noah goes on, maybe we will be saved by more Tetsuya Naito, though, because, you know, they could offer him up a new contract, I think, in New Japan now that would look a lot more attractive than whatever New Japan was offering him now. Or maybe Cyber Agent and TV Asahi will take one look at what he's doing and what he can do right now and say no. So it would not shock me if Naito was not long for Noah as well. Actually, that's a good point that I actually just thought about while I was recording this. But yeah, I would bet that Naito is going to go back to New Japan now, if depending on how much longer he can wrestle, type thing. So you know, the question is, how long will I think given the state that New Japan's in, they'll probably strike fast regardless of what they choose to do and how to restructure it and how to rebuild it. So we'll have a very good sense of this, how damaging this is going to be to either Noah or All Japan, or even beneficial. Although I don't really see how it becomes beneficial to Noah other than, you know, maybe a Noah versus New Japan feud. But again, I said why that just makes more business sense for New Japan to win that feud, and that's not going to help Noah. So I do think Noah will be the biggest loser, and All Japan, it remains to be seen. But there's definitely, you know, room for things to improve for All Japan. Is it a rising tide lifts all boats if New Japan gets hot again? I think so. Depends, though, on what All Japan has to offer, right? And that's going to be about building around Anzai, I think. So those are my thoughts on this sale. It's a big one. It's one of the most significant pieces of news to come out of Pearl in quite some time. Probably since Cyber Agent acquiring Noah, just in terms of how, and that really did change the landscape in a lot of ways. I really didn't talk about DDT, but DDT is DDT, right? It's precisely because DDT is DDT that I think it's going to be fine. I don't think there's going to be a big shakeup. And look, even if they took Yuki Ueno or Mao, DDT can recover, right? That's not an issue there. So I think they're going to be the safest because they offer something very different to Noah and All Japan. So they'll be fine. Noah, I would be the most worried about, followed by All Japan. So those are my thoughts, and we will be covering obviously this in the weeks and months ahead, this big moment, and hopefully it's not like a, you know, I mean, since you're heading into almost a monopoly status, that could mean stagnation, but I hope that's not the case, regardless of whether that innovation and progress comes from, you know, New Japan getting reinvigorated with investment and money to spend to try to take it back to the heights it was, you know, in the 2010s, or whether it's, you know, your All Japan's and Zero One's or Dragon Gate's saying, oh shit, we got to do something, and then trying to go out there and do the best product that they can. So it's an exciting time for wrestling right now in Japan. So just, you know, I've been through many ups and downs, so I cannot panic. And, you know, my final thought here as I leave is that we are now further than ever. Well, that of WWE destroying the Japanese wrestling scene. Paul and I will take a probably talk about this more on our next episode, just to get another victory lap, because we take many other victory laps, because many people, smart people, thought that this was going to be at when certain WWE announcements have been made regarding Japan over the in the past couple of years, but this was an apocalyptic scenario was incoming. But no, WWE is on its way out of Abima. Later this year, we'll be going on to Netflix, like it is everywhere else. Once the remaining TV contracts in other markets expire, they go to Netflix. So, you know, if anything, you'll just be seeing more New Japan on Abima. And I would assume that this Noah versus or Noah and WWE relationship is going to wither away. I mean, they won't even put Oka Sasaki on TV and stick on just a few Largo Loop shows here and there. So once he leaves, I don't see much else of that relationship, but you never know. But I just don't think it's worth it. And the other side, right? And, you know, Asahi and is not going to let TV Asahi is not going to let WWE get a foothold in Japan now. That's pretty clear because it's a direct threat to them and they're a major, you know, television network. So that threat's over. We're taking a victory lap. If you were a doubter of that the WWE was ever going to screw up Japanese wrestling, you should also be taking a victory lap, because a lot of people were really scared. And it was one of those mass freakouts that I baffled me, right? It just, I was so perplexed at it. So we're going to be arrogant and take victory laps on this one anyway. And I don't like to do that, but I just felt so strongly about it. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't believe so many people are paranoid about this. So that's why I'm taking a victory lap on this. All right, folks. So enjoy all the wrestling out there, and we'll see you soon with talk of this Neo Global Tag League in Noah and all these All Japan spot shows and leading to the next Korakuen on June 18th. Oh, and I woke up this morning to see the news that sounds like Shotaro Shino's thrown his name in the ring to challenge for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship on June 18th, assuming against the Thrill Billy Silas Mason, but he is defending against, I don't know who, at the Hard Times on, I think, June 6th or June 8th. So it could be a title change. That's why they haven't announced Silas Mason, for all we know. But anyway, enjoy all the wrestling out there, folks. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungi AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.